It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to a new study of entrepreneurial activity across the country, the Pittsburgh region is among the top 10 places in the U.S. for small business activity. Pittsburgh area small businesses can learn about key issues that may hinder their growth at the Pennsylvania Treasury's Small Business Initiative event tomorrow. It's being held in cooperation with the University of Pittsburgh's Katz Graduate School and Institute for Entrepreneurial Excellence. One of the featured speakers is Pennsylvania Treasurer Timothy Reese, a successful entrepreneur himself and the first African-American to hold a statewide row office. He joins us by phone from Harrisburg. Timothy Reese, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be here.
And if you'd like to join the conversation with a question or comment, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Perhaps you are a small business owner and have some questions about the climate for small business in the United States today. You can call 412-246-2002. Also, our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Treasurer Reese, I'd like to begin by having you define what a small business is. I'm sure our listeners are familiar with the term, but what exactly are we talking about when we discuss small business?
Well, for this event, so as you know, there's the federal definition of a small business, which is, you know, usually by employee size. And when you talk about small, they use the category small to mid-sized businesses. And they say people that employ anywhere from 500 or less employees, which is pretty much a large company. But for our program, we're concerned with companies that have been in business for at least 3 years that have had revenues for the last 2 years, a minimum of at least $250,000. And so that's our definition. So if you have some level of success, but you need to propel your company forward, grow larger, we'd like you to come to this event.
What are the key challenges facing small businesses?
Well, I think the challenges have been around for many years, but they kind of change. And the number one issue is usually finance related. We've seen with the market, anytime there's some type of hiccup where we had in 2008 with the financial markets and banking took a big hit, the way money gets lent changes. And those abrupt changes could occur through some type of bill or some type of act such as Dodd-Frank, where lending requirements have become more stringent for banks, and banks took quite a hit. And so they've been a little less or a little more reluctant to lend money in areas in which there's a little more risk associated with, you know, their collateralization on the money lent. And we know in running a business, a lot of times your cash flow needs ebb and flow depending on you land a new contract, you want to hire people, you need to hire more people. So these things also affect your cash flow. We believe that if you could have a way to look at those issues around funding, those are one of the things that you could deal with. And I think also the second issue that you see, which is in America, is our employee base. But luckily in Pennsylvania, and in particular in Pittsburgh, you have a strong base of college-ready folks out there.
Well, describe for me, if you would, what if you say that the climate has changed when it comes to banks loaning money, you know, whether it be startup capital or money that a business may need to grow. So if it's become tougher, what is that dynamic? If I own a small business and I go into a bank and I'm trying to negotiate a loan, what am I going to have to tell the banker in order to get the cash that I need?
Right. So let me unpack that a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, this is a great conversation, and it's one in which my 20 plus years of being an entrepreneur gives me some unique insight. The first thing is, prior to 2008, you know, the way your balance sheet, and this is to the business owners out there, they understand that the way your balance sheet may have looked is that you usually have to have a certain amount of a ratio of cash to debt on your books in order to keep your loan sort of in force. And if you go too low on your cash equivalent, which is your free cash, then your loans could be kind of out of whack with the amount of cash the loan they want to have. And in that case, banks will say that, you know, without having more assets, either cash or maybe inventory, capital equipment on your books, we can't really provide you this loan, or the loan is, you know, sort of technically in default, and we need to kind of change it, either reduce the amount of debt or, you know, either in some cases for some businesses, suspend the loan. So when you go forward in this environment, and this happened prior to me becoming treasurer, I wind up inventing a couple of different and unique investment models. And what I noticed was a lot of small businesses needed more cash in order to be able to get have access to more levels of financing. So in this case, you may either go out and look for some type of equity where you go out and we know about pitching to investors. And you pitch to an investor to get more equity in your company. But at the same time, we've learned that having an equity investor doesn't come without its own set of risks, because now you have a new partner that's essentially in your business. So what I want to do is at this event is we're going to unpack these sort of things, because I've learned that oftentimes it may not be capital that may be your biggest issue in growing your business. It could be other areas as well. So in this event, we're looking at not just your getting cash in, we're looking at other costs such as health, health and insurance related. We're looking at legal matters. There could be certain things that are going on in your company, either the formation, or there could be some you know, unsavory things that happen in terms of contracts and things that can cause sort of a little bit of an issue in which someone may want to invest money. And in other areas that we look at is also in your in the legal, corporate, finance, and I forgot the fourth area, quite honestly, Paul. But you know, we're trying to look at a holistic view of your business so that you can gain a better footing and understanding of all the areas in which you could probably affect the growth of your business.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation with Pennsylvania Treasurer Timothy Reese. We have Jack in St. Clair at 412-246-2002 with a comment. Hi, Jack. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? First of all, go Pens.
And, okay.
Thank you both.
Right on.
Thank you both for all the great work that you're doing for entrepreneurs and Pittsburgh. Really a general comment, and hope to see you tomorrow. But so I'm CEO of an early stage company here in Pittsburgh called Matricity. And we've partnered with a Johnstown-based firm called Problem Solutions, and they do a really good job. So my main point is about customer development. So before most entrepreneurs even need to go out and raise, you know, their first dollar of funding or invest in a lot of technology, they could go really pay dividends to spend lots of time up front with potential customers to really find out the intimate needs and desires of their of those customers. And you could do it via phone, in person, conference call, without really investing a lot of capital. And this goes a long way to really help you define exactly what problems you're trying to solve in the marketplace. So that's one thing that, you know, I've learned some tough lessons there personally, but I think if anything, advice to other budding entrepreneurs and early stage companies, that really needs to be your focus item for the, you know, first 30, 60, 90 days and beyond of starting a company. Would love to get your feedback on that as well.
Jack,
so thank you.
Jack, before you go, let me just, so what you're saying here is make sure you know that there's a demand or that you understand what your customers want before you go out and invest a whole lot in some, developing some product.
Absolutely. And I think it's easy. This is startup number five for me personally. So, you know, I've raised venture capital, and you know, first to be the one to say we made lots of mistakes back then. With all that capital, you go out and you look for office space, and you start hiring people, and you kind of go crazy with this. It's kind of almost like a heroin, you know, a narcotic. And I think you can, you know, looking back, we should have spent a lot more time really spending time in the trenches with prospects and customers to really root out the true needs and and pain points that they were experiencing.
Interesting. Treasurer Reese, as an entrepreneur yourself, does this sound familiar?
Well, Jack is making a great point. I think that, you know, this marketplace, as I say, I've been in this for a long time. And when I first got started, you know, there weren't a lot of places to go to get information. And now we hear an overabundance of, you know, either boot camps, tech things, startup this, startup that. And sometimes it becomes a lot of hype. And, you know, and for that entrepreneur, especially the first-time entrepreneur who hasn't come off the ground, you know, they could get a dizzying array of information, but how do you filter all that? And I've encountered that. I think Jack raises a great point about the startup entrepreneur. And that's why this program isn't about the startup entrepreneur, because that's a unique set of circumstances where you're trying to figure out how I even get myself off of ground zero. And I think that's an important group, and I don't think that group should be overlooked. However, we're trying to deal with the fact that there are a million businesses registered in Pennsylvania. They employ 2.4 million workers. But the majority of these small businesses have zero employees other than the owner. And so what I want to do is focus on that group, that cohort. I'm in business, and a lot of people believe that once I got in business and I got my first $250,000 revenue, a million in revenue, $2 million, I could really, you know, I think I'll be in a better position. But they learn that they have, some cases, a tiger by its tail, because you have to expand, you have to hire. Oftentimes, you don't have enough revenue to hire the best people. How do you get the most out of your business? And then how do you prepare yourself to propel yourself to go to the next level? This is what we're doing in these events. So we're trying to bring, first of all, we're hosting it with University of Pittsburgh, which is a natural partner because of at their business school. And that allows us then to have a nice, unique setting where these business owners, and we have over 100 businesses already registered for this event, to show up and meet with world-class corporations who will cover topic areas concerning, again, health and the healthcare and insurance, legal, finance, and corporate governance. Now, at a high level, they're just subject matter. These are just high-level words. But when you peel it away, I'm an investor. I've invested in America and multiple countries. I am an entrepreneur. I built several companies, including financing companies on the public market, which is Wall Street. And I've been an advisor for over 20 years. And I can tell you, with the insights I have and those colleagues I've met through Silicon Valley and everywhere, these concerns are very real when you're trying to scale your business. As entrepreneurs, sometimes we just want to deal with the things that we like to deal with, and we ignore those things that we know that we have to be brutally honest about. So this is a case where you can come in, you have your own private setting, there are only folks like you in the room, and they're the subject matter experts. Have your quiet conversation, learn, network. Maybe you'll discover other people who dealt with these issues that you're trying to deal with. I just want you to be able to feel free to deal with these issues so that you can see if you could possibly grow your business, whether revenue growth or job growth. But we want to let you be in a position to say that somebody's here for you and that the state of Pennsylvania and the entire economy of Pennsylvania will do well if you do well.
Let's go to Joe in Hopewell at 412-246-2002. Joe, did we lose Joe? Well, Joe did have a question, and we've got it in front of us here. He wanted to know, why do other cities in the U.S. do a better job of developing businesses? Apparently, he feels that Pittsburgh is not holding its own when compared with what other cities are doing. What are your thoughts about that, Treasurer
Reese? Well, yeah, I can tell you that every city has that claim. Okay, it's sort of like sometimes when you're in the forest, you can't see the trees, but when you're outside, you take a look and you see the trees. The only exception I've really seen around the United States is Silicon Valley, And it goes like this, I'm quoting what was quoted to me in Silicon Valley, which I tend to believe is, if you look at the pot of money being invested, I'm talking about equity investments. I'm talking about, and an equity investment means someone who's investing cash to take an ownership position in your company versus debt where banks are giving you a loan, but they don't take an ownership and you promise to repay the loan. So from a cash standpoint in equity, one-third of all the investment dollars in the world are invested through the Silicon Valley area, okay? The other third is the rest of the United States, not equally divided up, but different pockets of the United States. And the other third is the rest of the world. So what I find is that they're deserts. They're really, no matter how well one city may be doing over another, there's usually a desert when it requires a certain amount of equity capital. Banks, as I said, prior to the 2008 meltdown, banks were looking a little bit like equity because they overextended the amount of debt they would put in a company because the economy was roaring and there was an ability to probably that you could pay, and they just sort of, again, we didn't have those issues come out as much until we had the meltdown. So I would say to Joe that it looks that way in many other cities. Atlanta, most people think Atlanta has a great amount of capital because you hear about all the business. But Atlanta is really starved for equity investors. There are a lot of banks, but there's very few equity investors. New York is a different animal. There's a lot of money. But New York is not even near the same size it is in Silicon Valley. When you get to Pittsburgh, of course, you look at a city whose population is not that of New York. It's not that of, you know, Chicago and some other cities, but it's a relatively Pittsburgh is a relatively well-positioned city in a sense that it is well-respected for the product of its universities. These students are often entertained by Silicon Valley to be hired. I know from the investment clubs I have that there's entrepreneurial investments going over there. And I think you also have a vibrant healthcare economy with the UPMC. They're, matter of fact, they're a strong supporter of this program. So we have finance, we have healthcare, we have all these other things going on in Pittsburgh. The problem is linking these components together. This is what we're trying to do. From Joe's standpoint, you got to get in the room. It's not going to happen unless we all come together. And so the Treasury Department is limited. As treasurer, I can't directly touch businesses, but I can create a platform to allow businesses to touch each other. And this is what I'm doing by bringing small businesses with big major corporations who figured it out and them then lending their smart people to you for half a day at University of Pittsburgh. This is your opportunity to crack that nut.
Before we go, and I know we're a little over time here, but we've talked about, you have and others have referenced what happened in 2008 when the bottom dropped out of the economy. Have we recovered fully enough from the Great Recession to a point where small businesses are on more solid footing, or are there certain cautionary tales that that the people you're going to be dealing with tomorrow need to be aware of?
Well, I think that there's two parts to that question. I could tell you as a treasurer, obviously, for the state of Pennsylvania, I'm concerned with all our all our revenue, all our money. And so I have a very large platform. I have to manage, either custodian over $100 billion. So I'm looking at the economy on a global perspective, and I'm looking at the United States as a participant in a global economy. America is better positioned, as we see, than most other countries in terms of our economy. We do see the stagnation in terms of growth. Some of that has to do with the fact that we are always the some of the issues really around finding hiring suitable people to fill these unmet jobs. So I do think that we are in a better place. I think having it's not going to just be my voice, but having people like Ernst & Young, the law firm of Buchanan Ingersoll, having some of our own departments, our Department of General Services, that talks about procurement and allowing businesses to understand how we procure services. So so that they may be able to participate in procurement. So what I want to do is bring a collective of voices who see the marketplace in Pennsylvania and globally, and if not nationally, to lend their voice so that you can get a 360 view, if you will, of the issues, and then that'll allow us to have a better conversation and a more informed conversation, especially as it relates to our small to mid-sized companies.
My guest has been Pennsylvania Treasurer Timothy Reese, joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Mr. Treasurer, we'll look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Thank you, Paul.
Up next, the University of Pittsburgh recently held a symposium where experts discussed an unusual way of solving a housing crisis affecting over a billion people worldwide, building houses out of bamboo. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.